It's 11 after 11. John Hines with you here on a Tuesday morning. Good morning. Good morning. Chad Hartman follows here at noon. We'll be talking some more about the weather for sure. We'll be following all of that, keeping you on top of what's going on with weather and such. As a matter of fact, too, an interesting story that he's going to get into is the story about the toxicity of sugar. Toxic or almost toxic? Chad's got a special guest coming up at 2:10 this afternoon here on WCCO. Right now, we're going high-tech here. A couple of stories in tech news that caught my eye, and it's when we get stories like this, I like to turn in and check with our pal Julio Ojeda Zapata, the tech columnist at the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He joins me this morning on the air. Julio, good morning. How are you this morning on this snowy morning?
I'm pretty good, all things considered. The commute was a little tricky, but I'm alive.
You got there. I hope you're more than just alive, Julio. Come on.
I'm drinking some coffee and reviving myself.
All right. Hey, it's this story, and this just really struck me as surprising, that this year, we, meaning as a people on this planet, will download 70 billion apps. I mean, that's doing the math. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that's more than 10 per person. And there are so many people who don't even have a phone that will utilize an app. I mean, is this surprising? I mean, is there still a need out there to continue to create new apps and just see how many you can come up with and what the different things they do?
Well, the small percentage of apps that are at the top of the heap always feel a lot of pressure to continue to innovate, because if they don't, you know, somebody's gonna take their spot. So the whole app ecosystem is always evolving at a lightning clip. I'm very fickle. If I'm using an app that I like, but a good alternative comes along, I'll drop the first one like a hot potato. there's always an opportunity for people with good ideas. Just recently, I've been seeing some really innovative email apps, innovative weather apps, all kinds of really, really interesting stuff out there.
What would be an idea of an innovative email app? I would just understand. I'd take out my phone and I would send email. How would an innovative email app enhance your?
Well, there's one called Mailbox, which is for Gmail users. And when you fire it up, it makes emptying your inbox almost like a game. You just flick to the right, flick to the left to throw your email in different places. You can reschedule an email so it comes back to your inbox a little later on. You can archive it. You can throw it away, and you're encouraged to do this, because if you get your inbox empty, it gives you a cute little Instagram picture, a different one each time.
Okay. Now, is this something
you score a little dopamine reward there?
Okay. Now, are these free apps mostly out of the 70 billion? I mean, because people are doing this for a profit, so this can't all be free, right?
You'd be surprised how many apps are free. There's another, I can't remember the name of it, but I was playing with another Gmail-related app the other day. It was very nice, and it was totally free. There are a lot of free apps. People release free apps to encourage their customers to check out their paid apps. They release free version of apps, and then people just upgrade to the paid version. There are all kinds of different business models, but the free app, is definitely not going. It's very common. I was reminded of this last night. My parents, to my shock, actually bought an iPad. I would have never in a million years expected them to do that. But they're very confused. And so I logged into their Macintosh last night, and the iPad was connected to the Macintosh, so I could do things to the iPad. And I was like loading up their iPad with all kinds of apps, and every app I put on there was free. And I was amazed at the number and the quality of the free apps that are out there.
Now, 50% of the 70 billion apps are for Android-based devices, 41% for iOS. That would be your iPads and your iPhones and such, correct?
Yeah, it's important to remember that Apple sort of kicked off this whole app revolution, but now Android is giving it a run for its money. Although, as I understand it, if you're an app developer, the money still is in Apple app development. That's where you're going to get more financial reward. But Android has caught up with Apple in terms of the quality of the phones, the quality of the operating system, and a lot of the very best, most popular apps are available for both Apple and Android these days.
Yeah, that would be, to me, you mentioned smart money going with Apple, but I think the smart money might be to go with both in that particular case. Now, I've got to ask you about this other question that I saw in the news here, too. Now, as long as I've got you for these couple of topics here, an iWatch coming from Apple, so it'd be an iOS-type system, correct?
Correct.
And, I mean, what does it do? It tells time, for goodness sakes. What else could a watch do, Julio? Are you hearing anything about this?
I truly don't know. There's a new watch called a Pebble that came out, which was a Kickstarter project. The Pebble is on your wrist and connects to your phone. So if a call comes in, then the watch lets you know. But who cares if the watch on your wrist is telling you that a call is coming in on your phone? I mean, I'm scratching my head over that one. So the thinking is that Apple must have some like really cool idea that nobody else has ever thought of to make an iWatch appealing. The problem with that is hardly anybody wants to use a watch anymore. Right? I used to use a watch all the time, but now putting a watch on my wrist feels awkward and alien. It's not something I'm comfortable with anymore. It's like writing in cursive. I haven't written in cursive in like more than a decade. And Google is trying the same thing with its glass eyewear, that it's basically a computer on your face. And that's also very interesting, but it's going to create all kinds of social confusion. Like if you're talking to somebody who has this thing on their face, you're not sure if they're paying attention to you. You're not sure if they're shooting video of you. And both the computer on your face idea from Google and the computer on your wrist idea from Apple, I'm not really sure those are going to go anywhere. It's worth a shot, but it might be like the Segway, where the Segway caused a lot of excitement, but when it came out, it kind of bombed.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's still cute to see in a parade once in a while, or a tour group going down along the river valley or whatever. I wear a watch, and I know I'm somewhat of a dinosaur for doing that, because most often, you know, you can just take out your phone and look at it, but. So Apple must be onto something here. If they're gonna take something that is sort of an archaic idea, something as outdated as a watch, and actually go.
There was a version of their iPod Nano, not the current version, but the previous version was square shaped, and it had a little touchscreen. So a lot of third party accessory makers came up with watch bands to put the thing on your wrist.
Right.
And so basically, you're wearing an iPod on your wrist. And that was kind of cute and fun for a while. I just got really tired of it, because it didn't really add anything that was so useful on my life to justify having an object on my wrist, that I just kind of gave up. So Apple needs to really come up with a killer idea to make people want to wear watches again, because most people don't anymore.
Well, we will watch for that story going forward to see what comes of. I didn't mean that. I mean, we'll look for that story going forward. Julio, hey, thanks for your time. I can always encourage people, too, to read more of your writings at St. Paul Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. Julio Ojeda Zapata, keeping us on top of the tech stuff. Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
Have a great day. Take care. Yeah. When we come back to another story in the news, smartphones versus feature phones. I didn't even know what the difference is here. I'm going to find out about that. And smartphones now, I think for the first time, are topping feature phones, or it will happen sometime this year. We'll go to our phone expert coming up next year on WCCO. Hey, tonight on the radio with Mike Max, Sports to the Max. He gets started at 6:15 here on WCCO. In that first hour, a conversation with Gary Stefano. That is the Maple Grove High School coach who is, I don't know if ousted is the right term, or resigned. We'll get the full story tonight, though, with Maxie here on News Radio 830 WCCO. So check that out. John Hines with you here on this snowy, snowy Tuesday morning. A couple of stories in the news here that I want to get to. All right, we've got it now. Okay. Smartphone shipments to top feature phones caught my eye. And I don't even know what the difference is. I don't know if I have a smartphone or a feature phone. So I thought I would just check in with our pal here, Stacy Mosher, from Data Solutions, the Director of Data Solutions with Verizon. Hi, good morning, Stacy. How you doing?
Good morning, John. Doing great. Enjoying the snow day.
Yeah. Did you get a snow day today?
No, we didn't, but I had to travel through the snow.
Okay, because we were just asking this question. I mean, if you had a snow day, what would you be doing with it, Stacy?
I'd be maybe playing in the snow.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So now here, let me ask this question. What is the difference between a smartphone and a feature phone?
So I think it's all about applications. So things that you can do more on your smartphone versus a feature phone.
Okay, what can I do on a feature phone?
So on a feature phone, you can do text messaging, you can take pictures, you can have limited access to the internet. When I'm talking about applications, is hey, if you want to download your favorite game or entertainment, or I want to download some social networking like a LinkedIn or Facebook application, you definitely want a smartphone.
Okay, so just for somebody who's just going to call, talk, say, or text, or maybe take pictures and be able to text those photos back and forth, then you're talking about a feature phone in that particular case.
Definitely. But, you know, we're seeing the trends moving towards smartphones.
Well, that's what they say, that this year, for the first time, because up until now, there's been an increase. I mean, there's actually been a greater number of feature phones in use. But I suppose as part of it's got to do with the pricing, too, of smartphones. As those prices come down.
You know, we definitely have kind of a good, better, best smartphone. So really, you know, whether it's your first smartphone or you really want a high-tech, you know, camera or smartphone, we've really got, you know, obviously there's lots of options and choices for all consumers.
Yeah, when you just kind of look across and you should be able to go into your retailer or whatever, and they should be able, I guess ideally you'd want to ask somebody, what do you plan to do with it first, right?
Definitely.
And then you work from there in there.
Yeah, so we look at your typical day. So what does your day look like? Okay, I'm driving into work. Well, you definitely probably want some navigation, or you want to check the roads before you head out, like this morning, and see if, you know, cross town is red or green. Probably red in this case, right? I want to be able to do, you know, I want to be able to stay connected with my friends and my family, and I want them to know where I'm at to make sure I get to work safely. So really you have to ask the question is, hey, what do I want to use this device for? But more importantly is you're making an investment, right? This could be a, you know, $50, $200 to $200, $300 device. Really, what do you want to do with it?
Do you think the feature phones, the basic phones like we had, like I had before I got my, what do I have here? I've got a, I think it's a torch or something from BlackBerry. Do you think that those basic phones, the ones we would flip open perhaps, right, maybe take a picture of, you know, that one snap picture and hope you captured the image because you really couldn't see what you were doing with it. Do you think those will just eventually just sort of fizzle out, or will there still be, will there always be some basic application in need for that kind of a phone?
You know, we see some basic applications, but as people kind of reevaluate their life, I think looking at as people kind of move, and you know, obviously families are in different locations, so you may want to do more video messaging back and forth. So you'll definitely want a smartphone there. We do see obviously some huge trends of moving, whether you want mobile email to more social networking. So you see a lot of people posting videos, whether it's YouTube, and you definitely want to really evaluate what you're doing and what you want to do on your device.
Okay. Yeah, and when we talk about smartphones, by the way, folks, we're not talking about just the iPhones. We're talking about Androids, BlackBerries, Windows phones, Symbian, so many others here at the same time. So those are all in the category of smartphone. Now, BlackBerry is sort of kind of, are they still a viable thing? I thought BlackBerry was having some trouble with their RIM, their research in motion there.
So BlackBerry's got some exciting news that we're going to be sharing with them. They're launching a couple new devices this year on their BlackBerry 10 platform.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking, you know, touchscreen, very intuitive, so very easy to use. And I always look at, you know, if you're looking at smartphone, there's all these different OSs, right? You, John, you kind of read through those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really you kind of look at, what do I want to do with it? So do I have a Windows 8 PC at home? Well, maybe I want a Windows Phone 8. You know, do I want to really separate my business and personal, use it on one device? Well, maybe the BlackBerry 10 would work.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously we have a lot of customers on all of these platforms.
Well, interesting stuff, Stacey, and I thank you for giving a little insight here. I got a little bit of an education this morning, so
great.
Hopefully I picked up on something. We'll see how much of it I retain. If only I had recorded it in my smartphone, I'd have it there.
That would be great, John.
Stacey, you have a great day. Thank you. Stay safe out there as you're driving about. It's 11:30. We're going to get another traffic update here and also get the latest forecast details from meteorologist Mike Lynch just to see if we're still getting snow totals and where we are at this hour.